bamboo tree. And they were invited to go to Thailand, and they were in Bangkok, and they ended up singing in this bar that was a brothel with young teenage girls, a lot of European tourist guys coming in there. And they're singing in this bar. And he's realizing what's going on in the very place that he was singing and proclaiming the name of Jesus. And he said he just kind of looked out, and there was a bunch of tourists getting ready to come into this bar called Climax. And the Spirit of God came over him. And he realized in the face of that terrible evil that was happening, that God is Lord. And God is Lord of that city. And God is Lord of this city. Mm-hmm. And he began thinking about how Christians around the world are combating the evil that was taking place in that brothel. And how God, through his people, the church, are transforming the world. You need to check out that song and read the guy's own words. It's just an incredible, incredible story. And it's so important that we get that message today. You know, it's so easy to lose heart. It's so easy to get discouraged. I mean, if we think about just the news feed in this last week and all the things that are going on, I mean, just think of what we've been bombarded with. I mean, right now, Hurricane Irma wreaking wreckage across the Caribbean, and it's hit Florida, and people are dying, and properties are destroyed, and people are displaced, and it's just terrible stuff. You know, it's going on so bad that we're not even cognizant that in Mexico, they just had this week the worst earthquake that they've had in 100 years. We don't even hear about it because we're worried about our vacation in Florida. And then, of course, there's North Korea. And literally the threat of nuclear war hanging over our heads again. I mean, it's never been like this since the Cuban crisis of the 50s. And then we want to get personal. And we think about the fentanyl crisis. I think Grand Prairie is number one in Alberta for fentanyl deaths. This little city of ours. People dying all over the country through addiction to drugs. And there's fentanyl. And they die. And it can be really, really, really easy to get depressed. And it could be really, really, really easy to think that darkness is winning. Now, I don't want to downplay the seriousness of this stuff. I don't want to downplay the evil that takes place. I don't want to downplay the human tragedy that's surrounding things like that, where families are destroyed and lives are crushed and hearts are broken and plans are destroyed. I don't want to downplay that at all. But you know what? It's very easy for us, I think, when we watch the news and we watch these things, to miss the big picture of what is really going on. Because the big picture of what is really going on is that darkness is not winning, but light is winning. And because God is on the move. And that's the big picture we need to understand. We need to remember that God told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it's not because he wants us to pray this prayer that's going to fail. He wants us to pray this prayer because he wants us to understand that through Jesus Christ and through God's people, the church, the kingdom is actually coming. I just want to show you some stuff. In the last few decades, the number of people who live in extreme poverty has been cut in half. Now, we don't hear about that. I mean, and there's still lots of people that live like these poor folks right here, and we need to make a difference. But the number of people in that spot are cut in half in the last few decades. Child mortality, little babies who are dying, it is down by 50%. Used to be that everyone in the developing nation would just expect children to die. That's cut by half in the last while. Maternal mortality, mums who die through the rigors of pregnancy and childbirth without medical assistance, it's down by 43%. People who live in undernourished, that is, they're not starving to death, but they just won't get the nourishment we need, it's down by almost half in the last few decades. The people who've been raised to the working middle class, that is, so that they can have education and they can have jobs and they can work and they can have money and they can put food on the table for the families, it has tripled
in the last few decades. And we want to think about literacy, about the ability to read. In 1950, 64% of adult global population was illiterate. They couldn't read, they couldn't write, they couldn't tell out if they were being cheated or if they were getting an honest deal. 2016, it's down to 15%. And it makes an incredible difference in their lives. You see, in the part of the bad news that the media likes to shove upon, that they like to pretend, and the enemy likes us to believe that darkness is winning, that Satan and his way is winning, that there is no hope, that the world is doomed, that it's all bad that's going to happen. But in actual fact, what's really going on is that God himself is on the move. You know, as I was thinking about this in the last couple of weeks, it's been really heavy on my heart, because even some believers and Christians begin into this whole deal that it's black and it's dark and the enemy is winning and we're losing the battle and the world is just a mess and nothing's any different and why even bother, because it's not going to make any difference anyhow. I remembered these incredible words by Jesus. Jesus asked the guys, hey guys, who do people say I'm? You know, some guys say you're this and some guys say you're this, and Jesus says, okay, but who do you say I am? And Peter, he didn't even really understand what he was saying fully. He said, well, you're the rescuer. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said, wow, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Because you didn't figure this out by yourself. You didn't put one and one together and get two. You didn't just kind of understand what's going on. No, you need to understand, Peter, that my Father, God Almighty, creator of the heaven and the universe, that my Father has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, upon this belief, upon the stance that I am the rescuer, I am the savior, I am the one who's going to make the difference, I am the one who's bringing the kingdom of God, I'm the one who's bringing, as it is in heaven, down to earth, and understand that I, Jesus, am that one, I'm going to build my church on that belief, and the gates of Hades will not stand against it. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. That's an incredible word, that won't overcome it. You know what that word means? It means to have too much power. It means to have absolute strength. It means to be so strong that it's a detriment to other people. It means to be able to superior come across and crush somebody. And you see, here's what we need to understand. In that culture and in that day, when they had this image of the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, they thought that it was the most powerful force there was. They thought that nothing could stop it. They thought that nothing could break through it. There was this spiritual force, and Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Satan, John, is the Legion. He's bringing darkness. He's bringing destruction. He's bringing addiction. He's bringing oppression. He's bringing all kinds of evil in the world. But listen, you need to understand something. My church smashes the gates of hell.
Amen.
Man. Now, you might be thinking, hey, hang on a second, George. The church can't take credit for all that stuff. Child mortality rate down. Literacy rates up. People raised out of poverty, 50% of them no longer living. You can't. Well, and you know what? That's somewhat true, but I want to tell you three things, okay? Number one, God is the author of all good things. All good things come from the Lord. And one of the reasons, you know, the Bible split into two halves, right? The Old Testament, or the old way of doing things, the old promises of God, the old covenant, okay, talked about what that was, and the new covenant. And one of the reasons that we need to dive into the Old Testament is what we see in the Old Testament is that God will use anybody, anything, any nation, any way to achieve his purposes. And so all of this stuff that's happening here, I suppose it's true that we can say, well, no, it's not all the church, and there's other things, but it's always God. Number two thing I want you to understand is that when you research it out, you'll see that we don't do everything but the church and the parachurch. Christians do a whole whack of it. More than you can imagine. I remember listening to a sermon by Mark Driscoll, who's a bit of a combative guy. And the dude was talking about how Christians are scattered throughout all the good stuff and all the good organizations, secular or not. And when he dives in, then you find out what your motivation is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And I would say the third thing
Well, God's behind everything, and the church does more than we can imagine. And I know the church gets bad news, but I'm telling you, if you look at the data and you look at the stats, you won't bad mouth the church anymore. I'm telling you. Read Rodney Stark. The third thing is this. It's individual believers. You know where I got the most of those stats on the difference in poverty coming up and child mortality? You know where I got it? I got it from last year's leadership summit. Because Bill Hybels was interviewing Melinda Gates. Ever heard of Melinda Gates? You've heard of Bill Gates. You've heard of the Gates Foundation, which says our reason to be, our reason to exist, is to combat the most difficult situations in the world. And Hybels is interviewing Melinda Gates, and he's like, what's going on? What's your motivation? Like, what keeps you going? I know you've got some practices that you do. What's going on with all this stuff? They said, well, you see, here's the deal. I went to a Catholic girls' school. And those nuns told us a couple of things. One of the things that those nuns taught us how to do is how to pray. And she said they take 150 high school girls, you can imagine this, they take 150 high school girls on a silent retreat. And she said, and on these silent retreats, you know, they go to this place and they talk, they give us readings about prayer and they give us readings about meditation, and then we have to meditate and we have to pray for hours on end. And every day of my life, said Melinda Gates, I spend an hour in prayer. I do it first thing in the morning if I can, and if for some reason it gets overblown, then I'll do it for sure in the afternoon. I don't miss a day when I don't connect with God and meditate and pray. They said the second thing that those nuns taught us is that one person can change the world. Because one person can go out and touch one other life. And that one other life can change another other life. And that other life can change another life. And that life can change another life. And that life can change another life. And that life can change another life. And before you know it, she said, what we were taught by these Catholic nuns and their faith is that we can change the world. And so the Gates Foundation, we can't claim it's the church, but I'll tell you what, we can claim Melinda Gates, who's motivated by her daily meditation with the God of the universe, who directs her and those billions of dollars and those thousands of changed lives. But if we're going to talk about individual lives, let's talk about right here in Grand Prairie. Let's talk about the Grand Prairie Church of Christ, this multi-site entity that we have. So let me just talk about some of the things that's going on. I got to tell you, I'm embarrassed to do this. I'm English.
What?
I know. And one of the things that you do in England is you make sure you never say anything positive. Somebody might mistake you for somebody that's happy. You're not allowed to say good stuff. You're not allowed to say this is great and this is awesome, this is good. The best you get is, that's all right, that. Drives you crazy, you know. That's all right, that. Bit upset. But the Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul says, hey, forgive me, let me just be a madman for a while and talk about some of the things God does. Son of the move of God. So if you forgive me, and this is not bragging, this is all glory to God, but if you just let me be a bad man for a little while. And just think about it. Let me just share with you, some of you don't know, the incredible movement of God and lives changed through the Grand Prairie Church of Christ, through you folks. We think about our children's ministries, getting into youth ministries. We have this whole deal, Kids Serve Sunday. Where kids get to serve in all kinds of ways, serving communion, running media, singing songs, whatever it is, and greeting people, handing out books, and whatever it is. And these kids, they get to experience that they belong, that they matter, that they count, that they can contribute, that they're the family, they are the kingdom of God, that the king of the universe, the creator of all the world, can flow through them and make a difference in their lives. And some of our major ministries, the whole media deal over there at Highland Park, is totally dependent upon kids who feel the call of God in their life and know that they can make a difference. We had several baptisms of kids last year.
as they come to know the grace and the goodness of God Almighty who loves them. And they talk about the leaders who work in children's ministry, and they talk about how their lives are transformed by the good news of Jesus. Because you see, if you want to understand something, get to the place where you have to teach it. And if you really, really want to understand something, get to a place where you can teach it and explain it to a six-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You want to know and understand the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the kindness of God? You get so that you've got to explain it to an eight-year-old in a way that they get it. And this miraculous thing happens. God changes your hearts. It's just incredible stuff. Marvelous stuff. And hey, talking about baptism. Hey, look at that. Man, you know, we had triple the number of baptisms last year than we did the year before. Now, we've got a ways to go, and there's all kinds of people that just need to be loved into the arms of Jesus. We got a lot of stuff ahead of us. But at least we're heading in the right direction. We need to celebrate every life that has been changed for all of eternity. And then... We had an awesome camp season this year. You know, we had 90 kids out of camp. Near as we can tell, half of them don't go to any church. And for some of them, it's the first time that they've ever experienced being loved for who they are. It's the first time that they've ever heard about a Jesus who came for them. Mm-hmm. It's the first time that they experienced adults who pour their hearts into them and listen to them and take them seriously. It's just an incredible thing. Our camp numbers, we grew 20% last year. And then we think about the missions that we support. This last year, it was just such a thing. I'm so proud of our three sites. But we got to send out two missionaries. We got to send out the POs, Justin and Amy. We've gone to Portugal to take the good news of Jesus to a continent that has forgotten who Jesus is. And they're transforming, they're going to transform that nation, the city of Lisbon, through discipleship. And you read the testimony, and a lot of it's because of the discipling experience they had under Jason when he led the band. And it set the steamroller to go to transform Lisbon, Portugal. And then you look over here, and that's Steph. Steph comes from us from a single family. It's a tough situation. She'll tell you, she grew up through our children's ministry, through our youth ministry. Now she's in a country that we can't tell you where it is because it's a dangerous place.
Yeah.
And she's taking the word of God to those people. She calls it Narnia. Because we can't tell you the country. And then you go down there, and at first it sounds like, well, maybe that's kind of a little bit boring, but that's Alberta Bible College, and the Grand Prairie Church of Christ is the number one supporter of Alberta Bible College. But so what, big deal? Let me tell you, this is one big deal. That's an institution that trains Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and pastors and missionaries. And when we support Alberta Bible College, we support the transformation of people who come in to be disciples, and then they go out and they touch thousands of lives. And sometimes it seems like a big difference between when you put $100 in the offering plate for Alberta Bible College and some country in Chad or somebody in some village in Nigeria or something hears about the news of Jesus. But it's what we're doing. Yeah. And we're on the forefront of that ministry. And I got a kick out of these guys. Those are just some of the guys that went on a bike trip. It's an awesome time, and it's been growing, part of our men's ministry, and it's just a fun time and a great stuff. But a few of those guys, led by the dude on the extreme right, Warren, he said, man, we want to make a difference and not just have fun. And so I said, well, what we want to do is we want to raise bucks for Aurora Home. That's the ministry that grew out of our church. Some of the women in our fellowship got a heart for the women on the streets of Grand Prairie who were addicted and trapped in the sex trade. I said, we want to make a difference. We want to bring deliverance to these women. And they raised up this ministry, and it's one of the ministries that we support when your dollars, that you go to that, and a bunch of our women are still involved in that ministry. And Warren said, now we've got to do something different. And this last summer, they raised $10,000 to get women off the streets.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't sit there like I was
Yeah.
This is the very move of God. This is God Almighty at work within this place. And we continue to feed between 40 and 80 people off the streets of Grand Prairie every Saturday night. We do it in combination with the St. Lawrence Society. We supply the food, we supply the bucks, we supply the building and some of the staffing for us, and we feed 40 to 100 people. It all depends. Wintertime there's more, summertime there's fewer. Why? Because it's pretty tough to have your soul fed until your belly's fed.
Yeah.
We do that.
Yeah.
God does that. And then we want to get into youth ministry. He says, Mark, hey Mark, what's going on? I got to tell you, I'm a big daddy guy, I'm a big mum's dad. And Mark reported to me, man, he says, this is great. You know that our average attendance from beginning of the year to the end of the year grew by 45%. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's how much our youth group grew last year. It's awesome. Over 40 kids sometimes coming out there. I'm all excited about that. I said, oh, that's great, Mark. You don't have to text them back. What are your numbers? What's the big number? And Mark's like, dude, you don't get it. That's good news, but what's even better news is our Tuesday night Bible study. Because we've got youth in Tuesday night Bible study that are telling their parents and telling workplaces, hey, don't schedule me for any Tuesday nights, because I don't want to miss Bible study. I've got to get into the Word. It's driving me crazy. Duff goes there. He's burning up half our elders meeting time, bragging on the youth. All right, Duff, we get it. They're great kids. We understand. And so I'm like, oh, so that's good, Mark. So how many kids are coming? He said, Alan, you're still not getting it. He said, what you need to understand is I talk to kids who tell us that they come to our youth group and they receive a welcome and an acceptance in our youth group that they have never experienced before, and they don't get it anywhere else. Because see, Mark gets the gospel more than I do. I kind of want to know this in his heart. This is the movement of God. This is God Almighty bringing the kingdom of God down for us. And then there's you, crew. Look at you. Look at you. Then we start with 12 people. I don't remember. I said, no, we're going to have 30 people. You know, we're going to have 30. We're not going to do like Mission Heights. We send like close to 100 over there. I'm talking to the number 84. I don't remember what it was. Got to 100. No, we're going to do it different this time because, we're going to have 30 people. And I remember some of you were at the meeting. We sit down and said, okay, you know, we've gone through this for a year. We've done some questions. We're going to have this time of prayer. And I remember Jason's table. Was sitting, it's our fellowship hall. And those guys are sitting over there. And his table says, well, that's fine, but what happens if only 12 people go? I'm not kidding you. This is the truth. I'm not kidding. True. You can look at the data.
That's true.
If Jesus only needed 12 guys, and what if 12 guys? And I said, well, that's my faith, right? Okay. If 12 go. We aim for 30, but if 12 go. I'm in on the core team.
12.
And look what God has done. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of phase one, is getting this core group going and getting it together and stuff. And then phase two, we kind of did, in phase one there, we just sort of did some practice worship services. And Jason's like, we're not ready. And I'm like, yeah, we're ready. You're not there, we're ready. This whole deal going, And then phase two is coming over here last Easter and doing a launch. And we're blown away by the people that came out, and it's just been growing in heart and in spirit and in numbers. And now you guys are going into phase three. But Jason contacts the Hillside community and says, hey, we just want to love you guys. We just want to serve you guys, and we've got some ideas about how we can do it. And, okay, perfect, you're the chairman of the committee. No. And now you guys have a partnership with the community, and God had just blew open the doors. Mm-hmm. This is the movement of God, you guys.
Yeah.
And you turn on the news and you see the blackness and you see the darkness, and Satan wants you to think the darkness is winning and the enemy is winning and he's got Grand Prairie and fentanyl's going to destroy it and the church is useless, and you had a conversation with your friend and they don't want to talk about it anymore, and you've been praying for this guy for 20 years and he's still not coming to Jesus. And sometimes it gets so hard and it gets so down that we forget that the kingdom of God is moving, because you see, it is hard. I don't want to lie to you. And there's a whole part of our leaders right now, to be honest with you, they are tired and they are discouraged. You know why? Because it's stinking hard. That's why. Because you see, the enemy is real. Satan is real. And it's talking about the gates of hell that we're smashing up against. And they are powerful. And they are strong. And they are well secured. And on the other side of the gates of hell is the fires of hell. And it gets stinking hot out here, grabbing onto those things, trying to shake them loose. I was so blessed last Sunday. Because the core team, we go to work through Jason, to the other and say, man, we're tired. Because some of us aren't sleeping. And we don't know what's going on, but we're trying to be sensitive to spirits, and we're kind of hearing this theme. And so, can the elders, can you guys come and pray for the core team? Because we're getting a little beat up over here. I'm so proud of the elders. We're just so blessed by the elders. They, oh man, you bet, you had like a, you know, a couple of days' notice or whatever. They were here.
Yeah.
That's Sunday at 5, so we were there.
That was awesome.
I prayed for a laid hand on the core team. And in the middle of that, John Murray, chairman of the elder, got a word from the Lord.
Yep.
The scripture. That's this. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fire ordeal that's come on to test you. Don't be surprised. Don't think that something strange is happening because you're tired and you're exhausted and you get discouraged and sometimes it feels like you're going backwards and the dreams you had don't come true in the way it is and the person that you've been praying for and loving on isn't really that interested in Jesus anymore. He said, don't be surprised. Don't be. Why are you worried? Listen, I'm telling you, if you sign up to storm the gates of hell, it's a fiery ordeal and it's stinking hard. And you will get discouraged. And you will be told messages that aren't true. And you will feel like sometimes you are being crushed down. Because it is hard. But I will tell you what. We will remain strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We will raise up our shield of faith. We will gird ourselves with the belt of truth. We will push forward the gospel of peace and the healing. And with the sword of the Spirit, we will storm the gates of hell that entrap and enslave and dishearten and discourage people. Because you see, the gates of hell cannot and will not and never will stand against the church. But I'm going to tell you what, these good things happen. Not because people are practicing for the Oxford University Tiddlywinks Championship. Or because we're building our empire of dirt.
Mm.
They happen because this Holy Spirit empowered service.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the movement of God. That's why this stuff's happening. And it's just an amazing thing, you know. You know, it's quite the deal. James and John, they kind of got the wrong idea. They thought it was this building this empire of dirt thing, which is good, you know, for your life. And then at the end of your life, it just kind of, as Johnny tells us, fades away.
Yeah.
And so they get their mummy. They're real men, so they get their mummy to ask Jesus. Can you go ask Jesus if we could be like second and third in command? And so she comes and says to Jesus, hey, you know, those my boys are pretty good, you know, they're right from childhood and stuff. And Jesus is like, and look what happens. When the other guys heard about this, they were so choked. That's my translation. And Jesus called them together and he said, guys, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over people. They're about power. They're about position. They're about authority. They're about status. They're about all that stuff. They're high officials. They exercise authority. Listen to me. It's not going to be that way with you. That's not the kind of kingdom we're doing. That's not how the world is going to be transformed. That's not how darkness is going to be defeated. Instead, whoever wants to be great must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave. Slave. Giving up all our rights. Giving up all our choices. given up all her dreams for the sake of the kingdom. And then he said this, listen, and this is what we've got to get. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, for those crazy people who are sitting here who are followers of Jesus, it's not about building an empire of dirt. It's not about positions or privilege or luxury or power or vacation or climbing the corporate ladder. It is all about becoming like Jesus. And we are never more like Jesus than when we are serving. It is the definition of what it is to be a Christian. It defines who we are. And if we are not serving, we are not Christians. It's just, honestly, it's just the plain that simple. Because Jesus said, listen, you need to understand something. You want to be a Christian. A Christian is a follower of me. And you want to be like me. That's what it means to be a disciple of me. And you know what I do? I serve. I serve. In sacrificial and sometimes painful ways. Because combating the enemy is hard. And it's costly. But it's the greatest thing you can ever do. To smash down the gates of hell and see somebody you love set free. I mean, it's hard. And because it's hard, God doesn't leave us alone. Most importantly of all, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Most importantly of all, he comes and he lives inside us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three gods in one. Three persons in one God, rather.
There we go.
And he comes. And he lives as an individual, and he lives in us as a people. And he equips us, but God doesn't only do that, but God gives us each other. He gives us the body, and inside the body he gives people who are leaders. Listen to what a guy by the name of Paul wrote to a bunch of Christians in a city called Ephesus. It's in what's now Turkey. He says, listen, so Christ himself gave the apostles, people who are sent out to start new stuff. Gave prophets, people who speak the word of God. Evangelists, people who take good news to people that don't know it. Pastors, shepherds, people that look after people and love them and care for them and bind them up when they're broken and feed them and give them water. And teachers, people who explain where all this stuff is all about and how it works. God gave these leaders. Why did he give them? One reason, to equip his people for works of service. But why did he do that? So that the body of Christ may be built up and reach all unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, because we're storming the gates of hell and we've got to know what's going on. Become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And when that happens, you'll no longer be an infant, tossed back and forth by the waves when we hear the bad news come across the airwaves and the enemy tries to tell you that he's winning. No. We stand against that saying, no. That is a lie from the pit of hell and you are defeated and Christ and his church will be victorious. And we're not going to be blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and the craftiness of people and deceitful scheming. Instead, we will speak the truth in love and grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, Jesus, the rescuer, the Christ. You know, sometimes around here, we try and be what we call a biblical church. And what we mean by that is we try to live our life and run the church like out of the Bible. We try. We don't always succeed, screw it up lots, but we try. But let me tell you one of the ways that our church is unbiblical. Well, we mess it up. I'll tell you how it is. We who are leaders phone people and ask them to do stuff. Totally unbiblical. Totally unbiblical. And that's why people screen my calls. I know, because their wives tell me.
No, it's Joan, you want something, not answering that.
You want to know what's biblical? I tell you what's biblical.
that the Holy Spirit, God, God who speaks the stars into existence and names every one of them, that God, God who died on the cross and gave up his life, that God, he lives inside everybody that follows Jesus. And the Holy Spirit begins to stir in our guts. And it begins to pour in our hearts. And it points something out to you that ain't right. It might be the women on the street who get a roar home. It might be little kids who need to be loved. It might be a disorganization of a potluck dinner. It might, I don't know what. I'm telling you, that's serious stuff. I like my food. And the Spirit, he starts to stir in your heart. And he begins to pull on your heart. And finally, you can't take it anymore. Because the Spirit just wants to burst out of you. And here's the biblical thing. I'm sitting in my office. Jason's sitting in his office. The elders are sitting at their home. And they get this phone call. And Allison puts it through. And Allison says, Alan, it's another person absolutely bursting with passion, wants to get on the front line and smash down the gates of hell again. And I'm like, oh, man, no. That's your time. And, okay, we'll equip them. We'll train them. We'll get them done. That's the biblical way. That's the biblical. That's the way that Ephesians talks about. That's the Holy Spirit of God tugging on your heart. And see, when that happens, a couple of things happen. Number one, the gates of hell are smashed down. And you are used, and God flows through you in ways that you cannot believe. And lives are absolutely transformed. And not only that, but you grow up. You become mature. You become like Jesus. Simple truth is, I will never mature, I will never become like Jesus unless I serve. I just won't. God built it in. That's just the way it is. And we want to help you. Before I say what I'm going to say next, let me say a couple of things. Number one, we don't believe around here that the only way you can serve the King is like inside the church. Okay. It might very well be that the Holy Spirit got bubbled up inside of you to help orphans, to coach, to adopt kids, foster kids, coach a little league team, enter into your neighborhood association, get on your school board, whatever it is. It might be that that's what the Holy Spirit has called you to do. But here's the trick with this. You can't do it just because you're a nice person and everybody goes, well, isn't that Alan a nice person? Not that anyone's ever said that, but just imagine if they would. And you go, isn't he a nice guy? No. If that is your calling, and for many of you, it is your calling, it is not necessary to work with these people, then everybody needs to know that it's the Spirit's empowered. And when you go into that meeting, when you introduce yourself to that little soccer team that you're going to coach with, and the parents and all those good things, they need to know, hey man, this is the love of Jesus flowing through me. And our team's a little different than all the other teams, because Jesus runs this outfit. That's number one. It's not all within here, okay? Number two. There are times when you're fried. And you just can't. You've been hurt, you're exhausted, you're disillusioned, whatever it is. And for whatever reason, God has brought many people to the Grand Prix Church of Christ who are just fried up people. And they just need to be loved on and cared for and have grace poured to and anointed with care. And you guys are so awesome at that. And so if that's your spot, that's cool. Take the time you need. Get healed up. Build that faith. You've been on the battlefront. You got singed by that fire. That we shouldn't be surprised when it hits us, but man, it still burns just as much. And that's cool. But having said that, let me say this.
We got these sheets over here. And they're just ways to serve. Table talk to you. You know how we normally do, we sit around the table and we say, okay, the Earl Jones said this, the Ryan said this, the Jason said this, what do you guys think about this, what do you think it means? And man, there is welcome. There is nothing like welcoming and greeting. This is your house, and God sends you guests. And if a guest comes to your house and rings your doorbell, it's not like, come in! You never met the guy before and you just carry on with your stuff. It's all man, who you are now. Okay, that's cool. You know, we're coming. This is our living room, and they can get you a cup of tea. It is crucial. Everyone has been to a church. God help us. Sometimes it's the Church of Christ where you walked in and you walked out and said, "Not one person talked to me. Not one person valued me. Not one person took the time to listen to me. Not one person shook my hand." That should never happen. That should never happen. That's the whole hospitality. You can go around, prayer team, you know, when we talk about the power of prayer, all this kind of stuff, you can go around. And it's very simple what we're going to ask you to do. We're going to just ask you to go, and there's going to be pens around there somewhere. And to ask you to put your name where you're interested. Now, let me just explain this to you. When you put your name on there, you're not necessarily saying, okay, for sure, I'm gonna do this. No. We're saying, hey, this is you saying, I'm interested in this ministry. I want to kind of check it out. Can I talk to somebody about what this means? Because I've got this bubbling in my heart called the Holy Spirit, and somehow I'm kind of drawn to this. And so you'll be contacted within the week. Jason promised me.
Yep.
No, I'm not kidding. We sat around the staff table and said, hey guys, if we're going to do this, we will not dishonor people.
You betcha.
If they're going to say that, okay, I'm interested, just got a few questions, we're not going to dishonor them, we're going to follow them. Okay, it'll be like a call and hey, you know, let's get together, or do you have any questions, or whatever the deal is, and then you'll be trained with disciples how to do that. Now, man, you know, I was thinking about this whole thing. And I was thinking about the amazing things that God's been doing through his people and this whole thing globally and through this church. And I just got this vision of a mighty river, a mighty river flowing through the land. And it's a bit of a tumultuous river. Because there's rocks and it's a little bit hard and it's a little bit rough and you can get banged up in that river, but it's just this powerful river. And I just got this whole thing that what we need to do is we just need people to be invited to jump in. To jump into this river. But, you know, what's really interesting is I was driving, you know, I meet some guys early morning, 6:30 in the morning, I meet some guys almost every day to pray. Different guys. And early morning, if you listen to the CBC, you know, they've got the morning show, there's a couple of guys on there, and then as I was driving to work, went to this prayer meeting sometime this last week, one of the guys said, you know, I had this amazing thing happen. Took the family to a pool, the Edmonton guys, I can't remember what pool it is, he said the name of the pool, I don't remember what it was. He said, we were there for this pool, and it was pretty crowded, because it was hot or whatever, you know, I don't know how many people were there, 800, I don't know, whatever it was in this pool. And he said, and this kid looked 12, you know, 11, 12, 13, something like that. He gets on the high board. And he said, he's got these baggy swimmer trunks on and a gray t-shirt. And he comes to the edge of that high board. And he freezes. Mm-hmm. And he's terrified. And he's stuck. He doesn't know whether to go forward or where to go back. And this dude said, and this amazing thing happened. The pool, bit by bit, went quiet. And everybody stopped. And he said, and not in a mean way, but in this kind of encouraging, weird way, that pretty soon everybody that was in the water started shouting to this kid, it's okay, you can do it. Jump! 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 You can do it! Jump! jump, and this whole crowd of people that didn't know this kid from Adam begin shouting to this little kid, this budding teenager, jump, jump, and this kid standing on the high diving board, he kind of does that, one, two, three, and he jumps and lands in the pool, he goes in the deep end, he comes to the top, and everybody cheers. True story.
What a great story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I know some of you guys. And there isn't a swimming pool full of people. There's the high courts of heaven. There's God Almighty on his throne, surrounded by the legion of angels. And they see your heart. They see your fear, and they see your desire, and it's scary, and it's hard, and it's costly, and the courts of heaven are shouting to you, jump! 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 You can do it! I'm in you! Jump! 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 And the gates of hell will not stand against a church that jumps. Amen.
Amen.